of the Spike Eskin program. Mark Farzetta takes over at 10 p.m. The Xfinity voice line is 888-729-9494, pound 9494 on your AT&T cell. Sixers and their addition of Darrell Wright, and somebody called up and asked if they trade for Sherrone Wright. Thankfully, they have not traded for Sherrone Wright, and Phillies have been the main topics of conversation tonight. I want to say, I got two things to give away in the last hour, and they'll go to just good callers. If you're a good caller, I'll hook you up with them. I got a pair of Dark Knight Marathon tickets, which is Thursday, July 19th. You'll get to see Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, and Dark Knight Rises, all for $25. Well, you will go for free, but if you want to buy them, it's all for $25. For tickets and showtimes, go to regmovies.com. And I have a pair of tickets to go see Union versus Kansas City tomorrow night, semifinals of the U.S. Open Cup at PPL Park. That is 7:30, a dollar dog night, free parking for all fans. For tickets, go to philadelphiaunion.com. Just two of the best callers over the last hour. You got to have a point. You can't just call to win the tickets. You know, before I get into it, I have this whole Phillies thing I wanted to get into. I'll get into it in a moment. Mike, you're on 94WIP.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? How are you?
Pretty good. I just want to say I'm kind of excited for that Darrell Wright move. It's another perimeter shooter, which we haven't had in a while. Him and Nick Young, I think, do pretty good together. But we did need that backup point guard, and I don't know if there's any progress, but I heard Lucas was talking to Miami, and I don't know if he signed there or if the Sixers are even interested in him, which I think he'd be a great backup point guard for us, because that's all we need right now for Drew Holiday for when he's off the court, so Evan and Iggy don't handle the ball so much.
Yeah, well, and one of the advantages, it's a real strange thing. One of the advantages for the Sixers last year was so many guys that could handle the ball. But then, to the very same end, one of the disadvantages, I think, in a lot of ways, was you have, Andre doesn't really need the ball, but Drew Holiday and Evan Turner and Lou Williams, who all thrive when they have the ball, it's almost like you don't have enough ball handling to go around for all of them. I think one thing that the Sixers did miss last year that you brought the point up was a backup point guard, not just a backup point guard, but a really solid veteran backup point guard. It's one of those things where, boy, wouldn't it be nice to have Andre Miller now, who could come in and play 18 or 20 minutes and do that. The one thing that I want out of this year, that I almost feel like I need out of this year, is for Drew Holiday to play point guard. And I thought what Doug did last year was to limit his turnovers. I thought he took the ball out of his hands a lot. You look at Drew's turnover numbers, and they're very low. He's right around 2 turnovers a game. And he might have been around 3.5 if you let him play point guard, but you might really know what you have a little bit more, whether he's capable of playing, because he's still kind of combo guardy, but whether he's capable of playing point guard all the time.
Well, the thing is, he needs the experience. So if he's going to mess up, he's going to mess up. Jeremy Lin was, averaging, almost 6 turnovers a game last season. So the guy, he's a young kid. He's going to grow. I think he has all-star potential, and he can be a premier point guard in this league, but he has to go through the trials and tribulations to become, great in the league. So, but I'm excited for him, see what happens. But Evan Turner can't handle the ball at point. I feel much more comfortable with Drew Holiday just handling the team and letting everybody else do that. And I think Darrell Wright's also going to spread the floor with Nick Young, so he's going to be more penetrating to the basket instead of so many jump shots that they took last season.
Dude, Mike, we have shooters. We have shooters. I mean, I feel like we've been teased with shooters over the last several years. We got Jason Capone. He said that he has the highest three-point shooting percentage in NBA history. Well, it's too bad he can't do anything else. And he couldn't even get on the court. And Nick Young and Darrell Wright are going to be able to get on the court. These are athletic guys with size, like Mike was saying. These are guys that can really, aren't great defenders, or even maybe you can hope for average, but you can match up size wise. You couldn't put Jason Capone on anybody, just not physically capable of doing it. This team will be more fun to watch than last year's team was, I think, if it ends up being this team. Mike, I got a pair of Dark Knight marathon tickets or a pair of tickets to go see Union versus Kansas City tomorrow night. You want either of them?
Can I do The Dark Knight?
All yours, brother. I'm going to put you on hold. They'll get your info. Pair of Dark Knight marathon tickets. It is Thursday, July 19th. That is next Thursday. You get to see Batman Begins, Dark Knight, and Dark Knight Rises, all for $25 for tickets and showtimes. Go to regmovies.com. Stan in Phoenix, you're on 94 WIP. What's up, Stan?
How are you? The reason for the telephone call, I'm looking afar. I've been in Phoenix for 21 years, and my allegiance is as strong to Philadelphia teams as the day I left. And I'm looking at what the Sixers are doing, and I just cannot believe that they're not about to be about to make a major trade. They just have too many wing players, too many small forwards. It's something's got to give.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. Like, you know, I was actually talking to over Twitter. I was talking to John Gonzalez from Comcast Sportsnet earlier, and it's almost like, I believe it or not, as crazy as it sounds, I think they could go into next season with all these guys, because I just think that they are. It just seems like they're positioning for 2013. I don't know if there's a big deal out there, As nuts as it seems, I think they could go into next year with all these small forwards. That said, to your point, it doesn't make sense to have this many guys that do this, even though they all kind of do a different thing. And we haven't known when anything was going to happen with the Sixers this offseason. You know, there hasn't been a move, whether it's Nick Young, whether it's amnesting Brand, whether it's saying goodbye to Lou Williams, whether it's re-signing Hawes, whether it's drafting Mo Harkless. We haven't had an inkling of anything. So I think I would be equally surprised and equally unsurprised if they made a move, didn't make a move. Logic tells you what you're saying is right. Logic tells you, wait a minute, how did they get another 6'8" guy? You know what I mean? But
absolutely.
But the truth is that these 6'8" guys don't all really do the same thing. So so I don't know. Maybe they're gonna start a new trend. They saw the Miami Heat playing with Shane Battier, Mike Miller, and LeBron James, and they want to play with a bunch of small forwards too. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure we're gonna find out very soon. I guess June 11th is an important day, I think that again, it seems to me from afar that. Howard would be the guy.
Oh, no way. There's no way. Stan, it would be so cool, but if for a year, it really would. And it would make sense while they're stockpiling those players, you know, because if you think the trade is a Drew or an Evan or actually like an Evan or a Thad and picks, maybe it makes sense. But I just don't see the Sixers risking everything for a guy who has made it quite clear that he is going to be unhappy if anybody other than the Nets trades for him. I just don't believe it. I don't believe that they want to, that they're so sure of the future. You know, they're so sure of, and look, I don't think it's a bad move to trade for Dwight Howard, even if he doesn't want to come here, because Dwight Howard wants money just like anybody else. Mm-hmm. And, whoever Dwight Howard gets traded to has the opportunity of giving him $25 million more than anybody else. So maybe it's possible, but I just don't see it. Thanks for the call, Stan. I really appreciate it, brother.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thanks. I just don't see it happening. It doesn't seem like it just doesn't feel like that's what they're doing. You know, if Houston wants to do it, we get all these inklings that Houston wants to do it. And again, like I was saying before, we haven't had inklings of anything with the Sixers, so maybe it's possible. I'd be floored. That one would really surprise me. Joe in the cell, you're on 94 WIP.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, man.
I just want to talk about the Phillies and why I don't think they should trade Hamels.
Okay.
If you really think about it, and I know that this core of prospects, or this core of players that we have that won us the World Series, they mostly were homegrown. But with the exception of this core, this team has been notorious for having really a terrible farm system and never growing anybody from ourselves. I mean, we always have those can't-miss guys like Jay Happ and Brandon Duckworth and, the list of guys that were great prospects that were supposed to be huge that didn't turn out. So, you know, I don't trust our system, and I definitely don't trust trading Hamels for prospects that You know, we think, I mean, you know, look at that Cliff Lee deal. We traded him, and none of those guys are going to pan out.
I mean, to your point, I don't think it affects your point totally, but Jay Happ was not a highly thought of prospect in the Phillies. And actually, I think Jay Happ, them trading Jay Happ essentially for Roy Oswalt was actually one of the better moves. Jay Happ has proven to be nothing. Man, I remember.
But when he was here, he was supposed to be a big, I mean, you know, he was a guy that we wouldn't get rid of to get certain players. Then all of a sudden they pulled the trigger.
Well,
but he was one of those players that they really coveted, that they liked.
I don't think they liked him at all, to be honest with you. I think Jay Happ was one of those guys, and again, it doesn't affect your larger point. I understand and agree with your larger point, but Jay Happ was one of those guys that, you know, we were watching it. You don't know how his ERA was that low because you could see the stuff wasn't there. He had just one of those kind of really lucky years, and I think they sold high on Jay Happ. And I think maybe they gave the impression they didn't want to give him up. But the fact that they got Roy Oswalt for Jay Happ, considering the other trades they made, the Pence trade, which was bad, the fact that they got Roy Oswalt for Jay Happ was just great. But I think the question more about Hamels is that do you believe they can re-sign him?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I think I can. I think that money is not an issue, to be honest with you. They got the new TV deal coming up, and I think Ruben Amaro knows that this payroll started at much less than what it is now, in terms of, you know, he was able to talk this ownership into giving him a little more. And if they see how bad this year was, they're certainly not willing to do this for much longer after having a couple, you know, winning seasons. I think that they need to win. And if he really goes to them and says it's going to take, you know, $25 million a year, they're willing to pay it. It's just a matter of I really think that they are going to trade him for prospects because they don't have anybody coming up.
I'll tell you.
I think it's horrible.
Well, thanks for the call, Joe. Good call. I don't think. To me, it's less about whether you trade Hamels. To me, it's more about whether you re-sign Hamels. And I just, for the life of me, I can't. I had Corey Simon from Phillies Nation on earlier, who insists that he thinks it's possible because of, you know, what was just said, that, you know, the TV deal and go up into the luxury tax. This team's never gone into the luxury tax. I don't know. You know, to expect that they're going to do something that they've never done before doesn't make any sense to me. And to the only way that they're going to be able to, remember, this team, the Phillies have holes they're going to need to fill. Third base, left field, center field, these are real holes. And if you go and spend more money on Cole Hamels, how are you plugging these holes? I don't understand it. I can't figure out how the Phillies are going to get any better next year. If you're signing Cole Hamels, you're basically saying that this year was a total aberration. With these players was a total 100% aberration, and that they are good enough to where if you just re-sign the same players and send out the same players next year, that they're going to be good enough to compete for a World Series championship. And I'm not buying it. The only way this works, the re-signing Hamels, is you have to move some other money. And the popular thing is to say Cliff Lee, and maybe I don't think they'll move Roy Halladay, but Halladay's is probably easier to move than Lee because it's only 1 year, really. He's not going to make that option. You got to move money somewhere. There's just not enough money to pay everybody. You can't keep paying the guys that only play every fifth day all this money. You can't. You can't have three $25 million pitchers. It's not going to work. The rest of the team is not good enough for that to work. So we'll get into more of that later. I still have those U.S. Open Cup Union tickets to give away to a good call in the last hour. Also, coming up next, what's it like to win a gold medal? What's it like to date one of the Sixers? We will get that answer from Lauren Cheney. X-Finity Voice Line, 888-729-9494, pound 9494 on your AT&T cell. I'm Spike Eskin, 94 WIP Sports. Time is 9:16.
WIP.
Mike Eskin taking you up until 10 p.m. when Mark Farzetta takes over. Xfinity voice line is 888-729-9494, pound 9494 on your AT&T cell phone. The guy that took the Batman tickets actually decided to take the Union tickets, so I have a pair of Batman Dark Knight Rises marathon tickets to give away to a good caller before the end of the show. I don't know if that'll be the best caller, but it'll be a good caller. Lauren Cheney won a gold medal with the 2008 women's soccer team. She is on the 2012 team. She is girlfriend of Sixers point guard Drew Holiday. She is also a graduate of UCLA. I actually went to USC at least for 1 year, just 1 year. I graduated from Syracuse. I went to USC for 1 year. And the one thing I took away from my 1 year from USC is how much you were supposed to hate UCLA.
Really, did you take that we beat you guys at everything?
Well, at the time, I guess the rivalry is still pretty, I haven't been out there in so long, but the rivalry is still pretty strong, I take it, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's always going to be a pretty strong rivalry.
The big rip on USC kids is that we were the spoiled kids that couldn't get into UCLA. That was all true, so I didn't know how to respond to that most times.
I think since I'm out of state, I never really understood, you know, the jokes between the two, but I just knew when we played USC, it was going to be a huge game.
So you leave for London for the Olympics tomorrow. How do you pack for the Olympics? Like, what's life like outside of actually competing?
I actually haven't even begun to pack my bag yet. Outside of competing, I would say it's pretty mellow. My family's coming, and I'll get to see them as often as possible, and hopefully I'll pack a couple of nice clothes, nice outfits that I could feel like a girl outside of my soccer gear. But other than that, I haven't even begun to look at what I'm going to pack.
You know it's tomorrow, right? You know you're leaving soon, right?
I have my laundry done, so I think I'll be okay.
All right, fair enough. Speaking of packing, your boyfriend is current Sixers starting point guard Drew Holiday, who I remember went out to see you guys compete in Germany at the World Championships last year. Do you two get competitive with each other?
I would probably say that I'm the competitive one. I get competitive in everything. Drew is good about, I think sometimes he lets me win, maybe. He did just have a golf lesson, and that got a little competitive because he could hit the ball a lot better than me, and I didn't like that.
I remember him saying that he wasn't a big soccer fan before you. Were you a big basketball fan before him?
Yeah, I'm from Indiana. Grew up playing basketball, so I love basketball.
What do you think the biggest difference is between competing at a high level in basketball and competing at a high level in soccer?
I just think the lifestyles are so different between a female soccer player and an NBA player. That's what I noticed. I think that NBA players are probably one of the toughest sports with travel and just how long their season is. And obviously, as a female soccer player playing for the national team, we don't really have an off season, but if we travel, we're there for, you know, 2 weeks, or if we go overseas, we're there for 3 weeks. And I think that it's hard to be away from your family and your friends, but both of us understand that.
Do you two even see each other?
We get to see each other, you know, maybe a week or a couple days a month. So hopefully after the Olympics, everything will slow down and we'll see each other more often.
I'm sure a lot of people tell you as you grow older, you start to appreciate the time apart. Talking to Lauren Cheney from the Olympic women's soccer team. You were there in 2008. Can you describe both, I guess, the feeling of what it's like to represent your country in the Olympics, because, you know, obviously most people don't get to do that, and then the feeling of what it's like to win a gold medal?
Representing your country, playing at that level is such a cool feeling. I think the only way to describe it is there's this camaraderie not only amongst the athletes at the Olympics, but it's almost like you can feel everyone behind you. There's just so much pride every time the national anthem's played. And anytime you see an American flag, you know, you feel just a part of it. And I think that's a really cool feeling, to feel like something, you're a part of something so much bigger than yourself. And then winning a gold medal, I can't even describe to you all the feelings that you feel. Just knowing that everything you put towards it, everything that you've worked for, you know, I've dreamed about since I was a little girl, came true. And I think that's really, really a indescribable feeling.
Is it hard to get up that same, I guess, desire to do it again once you've already done it?
Definitely not. I think the Olympics, if you ask any Olympian, they'll tell you, and it's an addicting feeling. You want to go back. You want to see what the next Olympics is all about. You want to compete again. It's a huge deal, and I think that it's an addicting feeling, and so many Olympians just want to keep going back.
Where do you keep your gold medal? Where is it?
It's at my parents' house, actually. I let them figure out where they wanted to keep it.
Oh, yeah, your kid is on the honor roll? Oh, yeah, well, our kid won a gold medal. If you want to see it, it's in the house on the mantle. I'm talking to Lauren Cheney from the Olympic women's soccer team. So what challenges do you think the team faces this year that you didn't have in 08?
I think that maybe one of the challenges is just how much hype we got after the World Cup. I think that can be a really, really great thing in that. Could also be a negative thing. We have to make sure we stay focused so we don't get caught up in everything around us and not focus on what we have to do. I think we definitely have some superstars on the team, and they have great attitudes, and they're so good at balancing everything. But I would say that that's a challenge that we've never had in the past, at least since me and him.
Now, I'm 2 years into really watching soccer and understanding it. We have a professional team here in Philadelphia, the Union, so that was my entryway into soccer. And there's still, you know, certain things about the game that I don't, you know, why do they do this or why do they do that? And one of the things was exhibited in the Women's World Cup last year. So you guys get to the finals and you lose in a shootout to Japan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how does it feel as a player, and you've obviously played soccer for a long time, but how does it feel as a player to have an entire game and an entire tournament come down to a shootout, penalty kicks?
I don't think any team wants to go to penalty kicks in the final. I don't think any soccer player wants to go to penalty kicks in the final, but it's part of the game. We had two overtimes, you know, to finished the game off, and it wasn't our day. We didn't get the job done, and as heart-wrenching as it is to go into two penalty kick shootouts twice in such a huge tournament, win the second one, because they obviously have scouted us. They know which way girls go, and it's just such a mental aspect, but I do think it's part of the game, and as much as it stinks, they won fair and square.
It almost, in my head, seems like ending a football game with a field goal kicking contest or a basketball game with a free throw shooting contest. That, you know, I don't like when hockey does it either. Do you like ending games with penalty kicks in general, or do you think you would, if you had the option, would you change that?
I don't think that I like ending games in shootouts at all, but I guess I don't have another option, since that's all that I've known.
Right.
I haven't brainstormed another way. And after you've played, you know, maybe 120 minutes after the double overtimes and how intense our sport is, I think, well, maybe we should just keep playing. But then I remember how my body feels, and I'm like, okay, well, I don't know if I could keep playing after 120 minutes. So maybe one day it'll change.
Now, you were playing in the Women's Professional Soccer League, which just folded and doesn't exist anymore. Where do you go now in terms of that?
I think it definitely is going to be a big change for me in this next year. I've had the Olympics to focus on this year, so I haven't even thought about it too much. But the WPS was huge for all of us, national team players in the U.S., to have somewhere to train, have a club environment to constantly get games, but I think overseas is our next option. If the U.S. can't come together and we can't figure out a way to make a league work here, which I'm still hoping and praying that will happen in 2013, but other than that, I'll have to review my options overseas and see what the national team's doing and what will be the best training environment for me.
This interview was made possible because of the people over at Chobani. Is that how I say it? The yogurt?
Yeah.
Wow, listen to that. Well, I was going to ask, I guess, how that fits into your diet, but more so, what do you, you know, what's an Olympic athlete's diet like? I remember reading what Michael Phelps eats. What do you eat every day?
Well, when we train, and especially getting closer and closer to the Olympics, it's so intense. We constantly are, you know, in camps. We have 3 weeks on, maybe a week off. When we're in camp, it's double days, triple days. It's really high intensity. So I think the most important thing is to get protein back into our bodies to rebuild our muscles to recover. So I usually try to start my morning with a high protein breakfast. So I like Chobani. I don't really like to eat breakfast too much. I like a lighter breakfast. So I try to make a smoothie. I put as many berries and fruits in as I can with some sort of flavor of Chobani. And then if we have a double day, obviously I'll eat maybe a little bit more during lunch, but I'll still try to have something high in protein.
Well, Lauren Cheney from the 2012 Women's Olympic Soccer Team, already a gold medalist in 2008, and I wish you a ton of luck. I hope you guys bring home another gold, and I can't thank you enough for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you so much.
And thanks again for coming on. Do you have a Twitter or something you want to give out, tell everyone to follow you?
Yeah, my Twitter is LaurenCheney8.
LaurenCheney8, cool. Well, again, good luck and safe travels over there.
Thank you.
Two Olympians, one show. Coming up at 10 o'clock is Mark Farzetta. One more segment with this guy right here, Spike Eskin. Xfinity voice line is 888-729-9494, #9494 on your AT&T cell phone. By the way, the first Olympian I had on, Andre Iguodala, that interview is now podcasted at CBSPhilly.com, so you can listen to that whenever you want, you know, middle of the night. Early in the morning, whenever.
This is the new sports radio, 94 WIP.
Until Mark Farzetta takes over 10 p.m., it is me. I'm Spike Eskin, Xfinity voice line 888-729-9494. Wrapping up Phillies and Sixers talk, which I'm sure will go deep into the evening. I do have we still have the Dark Knight Marathon tickets left, Mike? We give, okay. So for one good caller, you have to call about something else. You know, you can't just call to win them. But if you're a good caller, get a pair of Dark Knight Marathon tickets, for next Thursday. You see Batman Begins, Dark Knight, and Dark Knight Rises all for $25. I'm not that excited about Dark Knight Rises. I'm not a huge, comic book movie guy. But that said, the trailers do look pretty badass. I'll give you that. Ike, you're a 94 WIP.
What's going on, Spike?
What's up, man? How are you?
I ain't nothing. I just, first of all, I want to tell you, man, it's a great show you put on tonight, man, especially for us Sixers fans, man. It's been tremendous.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to give you congratulations on a great show tonight. And two, I really like what the Sixers is doing because it's giving them flexibility a lot and everything, but I think they're still missing one more piece, like I heard you say periodically throughout the night or whatever. And I think the piece got to be a power for it, like a more, like thicker power for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I would love it, man. I mean, it just seems like there's so few guys that
I think I got three people in
mind. Okay.
I'm not saying they're great.
Okay.
But I'm thinking that you could actually fit them in for like the same situation.
Okay.
You could go after Carl Landry.
Right.
You could go after J.J. Hickson.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah. No. Look, man, you know what I appreciate about you, Ike? Because most people call up with the Sixers ideas, and they're like, they need to get a power forward or center. And I go, who? And that's when the conversation ends. So at least you have answers. So you got Carl Landry, you got J.J. Hickson, and what was the third one?
Maybe give a second rounder up for DeJuan Blair.
I don't think you're getting DeJuan Blair. I would take DeJuan Blair in a heartbeat. I think what happens is that guys like that go to San Antonio and then never leave. Who knows? What I would never do is overpay for DeJuan Blair. That's one thing you can't do. You can't, because with his knees, you never know how long that guy's going to last. Yeah.
He actually fit into the plan.
Let me tell you why.
Okay.
First, I was reading the day, because I read Liberty Ballers and,
yep,
and Hoops Hype, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Just like, and I'm on it every day.
You and me both.
Yeah. So, and your Twitter, too.
Yeah.
You give out just as much information as those.
Thank
so,
you.
So, I seen that he was saying he expects to get traded. And he was deep on that bench. And what I seen is he has 1 year left at a million something left on the contract.
You know what? The thing that you're right about is that now that I think about the playoffs, he couldn't even get off the bench against Oklahoma City. And they actually just re-signed Boris Diaw for 2 years. So you would have to assume that they Boris Diaw is going to start at power forward.
And they got Splitter.
Yeah.
And they was trying to get Camby before he went to the Knicks.
All right.
So I'm just saying, it's just lost, but I'm just thinking, like, those three people who got short-term contracts probably, and well, I know where Blair do, the other two are free agents, and you probably, the other two you could probably get for like a $3 million, $4 million for a one-year thing just to go along with the program of everything else they've been doing tonight.
I like your, I wonder what they'd want for DeJuan Blair.
Can't ask for too much.
No, look, he'd be a body. He'd be a physical body you could put up front. I really dislike J.J. Hickson. And it's so funny when people point out J.J. Hickson, why they should sign, all they do is point to the 7-game stretch where he plays well, but they ignore the, like a 13-game stretch where he can't get a rebound and he can't get off the bench. I think J.J. Hickson, and I was told by somebody who works in Cleveland that J.J. Hickson is stupid, and I don't want any idiots.
But, yo, just the last thing I'll say to you, man.
Yes.
I 100% agree with you with that. He's too small to be a power forward. Taj Gibson dominated him.
Yeah.
Taj Gibson is the same kind of guy on the same level. He's just a little bit bigger than him. And maybe slightly taller than him, and he just as athletic as him. And Daddy's got shut down in that Chicago series. Didn't really do too much in a couple games in the Celtics series. So we just need somebody who can get some rebounds. That's the only thing I'm scared of. Everything else, I see what they're doing, man. You know, see who will pan out this year, and have some money for next year, and see where you're gonna go after that. I like it, man. I like it. Yo, you take it easy, man. Great job.
All right, thanks. See you later, man. Yeah, he's right about Thad Young, too. Man, maybe if Thad, I forget, somebody asked me on Twitter earlier, maybe if Thad comes back and put on 25 pounds, call Freddie Galvez. Bad joke. Thaddeus Young needs to put on weight, because Thaddeus Young, if he's going to play power forward, or Thaddeus Young really needs to develop an 18-footer. I like this DeJuan Blair idea. That's crazy about DeJuan, but I take DeJuan Blair, right? I mean, certainly for a year, I take a flyer on DeJuan Blair. He can play. He's certainly a tougher inside presence than anything we have on the team. Can you imagine DeJuan Blair and Lavoie Allen on the same front court? How Philly that is. I mean, might not win many games and can't jump very high, but it's a very Philly front court. Nick, you're on 94 WIP.
Hey, Skip, how are you, buddy?
Did you call me Skip on purpose?
No, I apologize.
Angelo calls me Skip accidentally. All right, I didn't know if you were doing
it.
I didn't know if you were being condescending or not. It's all good. What's up, man?
Not this early in the phone call, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I knew that we were starting off on the bad foot if that was the case. So I knew what I was getting prepared for. So what's up?
Listen, I don't want to talk Thaddeus. I want to talk Phillies. But come on, Thad, how many years do we have to wait for him to develop something?
Well,
like one aspect of a 10-tool player to, you know, can we get one tool for him? I know he can rebound. He's a high-energy guy. But come on, what does he really bring, you know, overall?
And we'll get into the Phillies in 1 second, but there's a host here named Lee Russikoff, who also works for Phillies 24/7. And we've been arguing about Thad for 3 years. And I remember during one of my arguments 3 years ago, I said, just tell me what he's good at. Tell me one thing that he's good at. And I like Thaddeus Young. But the point is, to your point, is that the jumper's still not there. Even the numbers point out, like the jumper, the numbers on the jumper were pretty good this year, but his handle is terrible, and he still can't defend, and he's still not a rebounder, and he doesn't excel at anything. He's energy, that's it.
Well, he's too small to defend.
Yeah.
A post player, like in the 3 or 4 position, he doesn't have the handle to push the ball up the court. He can't play, well, anyway, never mind.
Anyway,
we know.
Phillies.
These 2 points I've heard on the radio for the last 3 months about the Phillies. A, we should go over the luxury tax because look, the Yankees do it, and we're the Yankees of the National League. Well, the Yankees only did it once, and Boston only did it once. In the history of this tax, only two teams ever did it, and they did it for one season, not even the full season, okay? And we're not the, listen, we're the National League Yankees, but we don't spend and have the payroll that the Yankees have. So we should throw that right out the window. And the other thing, everybody says, oh, there's a new TV contract coming out in 2015. Well, 2015 is 3 years away.
Yeah.
And if the Phillies have another season like this next year, early in the season, guess what? Sellouts don't become sellouts. TV eyeballs become less TV eyeballs, and the Phillies are going to go back to, say, Phillies in the mid-90s where nobody really was paying that much attention. And guess what? Comcast Sportsnet then won't care about really giving them a bigger contract. And the other thing is New York, Los Angeles, and Boston, they have a higher, say, Metro TV viewing area, so they have more competition. When our contract, when the Phillies TV contract comes up, who else is going to compete with Comcast? I mean, you might have 17, you might have Channel 29, Fox, but at the end of the day, there's not that many big players. If you don't have big players competing for this contract, you're not going to get a much bigger contract.
Well, okay, all your points. I don't want to forget any of them. First of all, about the tax, everybody wants to spend, but nobody realizes this team has had a very clear line at the luxury tax every season.
Been there, exactly.
Very clear. They have not gone over the luxury tax. And in addition, you're talking about a team that has certainly, last year, went all in. They mortgaged part of their future. They had to know, giving Cliff Lee 5 years and with the deals they already had, they went all in last year. But even going all in, they did not go above the luxury tax. And in addition, I am of the understanding that the luxury tax next year gets even more severe. Yeah, the percentage you pay, yeah, is higher. So it's not a real. I don't think it. I could be wrong, but I agree with you. I don't think it's a realistic thing to go over the luxury tax. Now, as far as New York goes, I don't care how much money they get here. It's not New York. It's just not New York. New York is Philadelphia is as far as TV. I think is the fourth biggest market. Radio is like the eighth biggest market. But New York is like it's almost like the Richter scale. It's like number one. One is so much bigger than number four. It's there's so much more money in New York. There's just
the 5,000-pound gorilla.
Look at the price of the tickets in the stadium. It's outrageous. It's a different world. They don't have that money. Now, the one point devil's advocate is with the TV network. They might not have a competitor that is available to give them that money, but the competitor is the Phillies developing their own TV network and selling that themselves. Now, it might not be the same kind of upfront money, I guess, that, you know, that they would get like these billion-dollar deals that other TV networks are getting, but there's certainly a lot of money in doing that.
Yeah, well, see, in the short term, they're going to actually, their TV contract is going to be a liability and not an asset.
If they do that, yeah.
If they do that. So that goes against what everybody's saying. Oh, we have the money coming in because there's a new contract coming. No, if they decide to host their own station, their own programming, then it becomes a liability in the short term and still starts making money. And if they don't start if they start having one or two bad seasons, it's gone. Everything we built in 5-6 years, it's gone.
Well, okay. And the thing is, hey, thanks for the call, Nick. You're the last call of the night. Nick, we got a pair of Dark Knight marathon tickets. Would you like them?
I'll take them.
Dark Knight. All right. I'm going to put you on hold. Thanks, Nick. Here's the precarious position that they've put themselves in, especially when you talk about that TV deal. On one hand, you don't want to risk 2015 being miserable by handing out contracts that you're going to regret in 2012, 2013, 2014. But on the other hand, if you're not able to continue to compete for the next 2 years leading up to that, just compete, get into the playoffs, at least have, you know, sell tickets, be an interesting product, then who knows what that deal is anyway. Now, it's still a huge TV deal, regardless of how the Phillies are. There are the team signing TV deals now are signing TV deals that that could never be thought of. And the reason that these deals are so big is that when you think about TV as a medium and DVR as a medium, the thing that DVR does, the thing that DVR ruins is commercials. Nobody watches commercials on DVR. And it's like this dirty little secret that nobody watches commercials. But TV networks are doing whatever they can to try to get people to watch TV shows live. That's how Twitter helps. Twitter helps TV shows like reality shows that are constantly moving because people want to be part of that live experience. But the one thing on television that people still watch live that only DVR if they have to, think about how many times you've DVR'd a baseball or a live sporting event to watch later for the first time. Maybe to watch it at another time you'll do that. But the reason that sports are such a big deal is because they are the last part of television that people feel like they need to watch live. And regardless of how the Phillies are performing, it's still programming that people watch live, that you can convince advertisers that you don't have to worry about ad placement and product tie-ins and all this nonsense that movies and TV has to worry about now because they can't convince anybody to watch commercials. TV, the live sports are that valuable, and that's why, you know, football, the national football contract is so much, why the basketball contract is so much, and that's why local TV deals are for baseball are going to be that big. Is as critical as you can be about the Phillies and as critical as Nick was, the one thing that you have to remember, and it's very woulda, coulda, shoulda, but they went for it last year. And they went for it last year knowing that if they went for it last year, it was going to make it harder for the future. And they did the thing that we always wanted teams to do we'll take losing seasons for another championship. And they wanted to get Phillies fans another championship. And I will defend them in that if they had won the World Series last year, and I know they didn't. I know they didn't, but they won 100 games, and they were good enough to win the World Series last year. If the Phillies win the World Series last year, as awful as the future looks, after that, they still won another World Series, and this isn't even a discussion. So they went for it last year. They didn't get it, but they went for it, and you have to give them credit for that. Mark Farzetta is next. Thanks, Mike Angelina. Thanks, Colleen Wolf. Thanks, everybody who is a guest and you for listening. My name is Spike Eskin. 94 WIP Sports Time is 9:56.
Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Men. 30 million of us have ED or PE. Are you one of them but are too embarrassed to do anything about it? You need to listen to Dr. Kevin Hornsby.